Welcome to the Fertility Stories podcast. This is your host, Mary Sauden, naturopath and fertility coach. I help women go from frustrated, overwhelmed, and isolated to calm, confident, and in control of their fertility. I'm passionate about helping women get pregnant and stay pregnant. Each week, I have a real and empowering conversation with everyday women and men struggling with fertility to bring you hope, comfort, and support. This is our story. Welcome to the Fertility Stories podcast. My guest today is Iris Weichler. She is a medical social worker and author of an award-winning book called Riding the Infertility Roller Coaster, a guide to educate and inspire. Welcome to the podcast, Iris.
It's so great to be here, Mary. Thank you.
So first off, tell us more about yourself and about your fertility journey.
Okay. Professionally, I've been a medical social worker for over 40 years. And I also have done a lot of work with people with catastrophic illnesses. And I have done counseling, both group and individual, with people who have experienced infertility. On a personal basis, my infertility story is this. I started late. I got married when I was 42. And I honestly wasn't sure I could have kids because my mom had such a tough time. She had many, many miscarriages. And lo and behold, I got married, and about 5 weeks after I got married, I was pregnant. And so I was very happy and very pleasantly surprised. Yeah. Unfortunately, though, I had a miscarriage early on in my pregnancy. And I have to say that when I had that miscarriage, it really hit me how badly I wanted to have a child. Mm-hmm. And because of my age, and because we did have such a late start, the only option for us really was to get an egg donor. Mm-hmm. So we did. And we started the search. We found the perfect person, and we were just about to do a retrieval, and she got pregnant. So I had to start all over again, which was really disappointing and hard. Mm-hmm. We found another donor, and it worked out. And we did a retrieval, and I did get pregnant again. Mm-hmm. Very happily. And then unfortunately I had another miscarriage. So I had decided we had one more opportunity. We had three embryos left, and I had sort of decided that physically and emotionally that this was going to be our last try, because I didn't know that I could continue to do that. Mm-hmm. So we did another retrieval. The embryologist just came in and said, you have one embryo that's marginal, one that looks fantastic, and one that looks pretty good. And I said, give us the fantastic one. Mm-hmm. And we had a beautiful baby girl on our last try. Oh, so wow. Very blessed and very lucky. Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. Let's break that down a little bit. How did you deal with going through a miscarriage?
It was very hard, and it was pretty overwhelming. And one of the things that I found personally and then later helped people professionally, I think when you go through a loss like that and you go through the experience of infertility, on some level, you feel like you need to do it alone, and it's really hard to reach out for support. But I think everybody needs some kind of support to help get through it. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do with if you do have a partner, your ability to communicate with your partner. And luckily, my husband and I had that ability. So that helped enormously. And then as I opened up to friends and family, I was very fortunate. There was a lot of support. We had a fantastic doctor early on. Mm-hmm. And that was hugely important to have a doctor that you could rely on who understood. Unfortunately, what happened with us, there was an upheaval at the fertility clinic I used. And literally right before I had my second retrieval, they mm-hmm. pulled my doctor away and brought in a total stranger. Oh. And that was, again, I was so frustrated and angry because bringing in a stranger, I nicknamed him the Lone Ranger because I literally never saw his face.
Oh my goodness.
He came in with a mask and down and do the retrieval. He patted me on the back and said, it's a good day to get pregnant. And he did what he needed to do. And he left the room. And I literally said to my husband, did he do anything while he was in the room? And my husband said, yeah. And so luckily it worked out and all ended up to be okay. But I think that relationship with your doctor too is so enormously important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's really important to have a good relationship with your fertility doctor. And it's great that you had supportive friends and family, especially when you went through two miscarriages. When you were searching for an egg donor, what was that process like?
It was really terrifying because I knew that it might be our last chance. And also, when you go and you find a donor, you literally are given a one-page sheet, and it has information like height and weight and color of eyes, color of hair, and it says why they wanted to donate and what school they, you know, education and then background in terms of work, but that's all it has. Mm-hmm. And so on one level, you sit there and you think, is this accurate information? On another level, I felt, and my husband did too, we felt so guilty making a decision about what's good or bad for us based on that kind of information. Mm-hmm. It was such limited information, and you just have to trust, sort of blindly trust that the choice that you make is a good one, and it turns out to be a successful pregnancy. So, and especially for me, since the first one turned out to fail because she got pregnant, I was so scared that something would go wrong with the second one. So it really was kind of an eggshell kind of experience, and really scary until we actually did the retrieval and I actually got pregnant and got beyond the first trimester. I think that was huge. One of the things that happened for me and also in my professional work with other people is I did a group counseling people. I think when people have multiple miscarriages or experience infertility, you never really believe you're going to have a healthy baby until you're holding that healthy baby in your arms.
That's right.
And so you don't allow yourself to celebrate the moments and the milestones in your pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things I did in a group that I led was I talked to people about allowing themselves to enjoy those milestones, getting through the first trimester, feeling the baby move for the first time, having that first ultrasound, and other moments I think are so special. And so I try to not be as anxious as I might have been through my pregnancy because I was so aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tell us more about the work that you do for couples or for individuals who are suffering with infertility.
Well, when I had my miscarriages and when it was my third and final try, I made a promise to myself. And my promise was if I was lucky enough to have a healthy baby, that I wanted to do what I could to help other people that were experiencing infertility. And so initially what that meant was I did some volunteer work for Resolve, the National Infertility Association. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I worked on their crisis line, and then I also did some groups, and then I also did some workshops around infertility. And I loved doing that, and I found it really rewarding, and it was so great to connect with other people that where we had shared experiences. Mm-hmm. And then I felt that I wanted to reach out more and reach more people, which is why I ended up writing the book. I wanted to connect with as many people as I could. So I decided to write Riding the Infertility Roller Coaster. And what I did was I wanted to use my experience, but I also, as you know, there are so many paths to becoming a parent when you're building your family. And so I wanted to interview people that had experienced different paths and made different choices about it. So in the book, I interviewed people who used an egg donor. I interviewed people who did an adoption, a foreign adoption. I interviewed a woman who chose to remain childless. And I just interviewed people who had different perspectives about it and different experiences. And I interviewed both men and women because I thought that men and women can experience infertility treatment differently. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was important to have both those voices in the book.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And right now you continue to do individual and group counseling.
Well, right now I've just reached retirement age, so I've tapered off on the counseling. Mm-hmm. What I am doing though is I do articles. I've turned more to writing, and mm-hmm. so I post articles about infertility Monday through Friday on my Twitter page, and I have a Facebook page called Infertility Roller Coaster, where I continue to provide information for people around infertility issues and questions. And then if people contact me there, I do respond that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. We'll have that in the show notes so people can find you. And with the book that you, so it's mostly a lot about stories of people who underwent infertility and infertility treatment. Where can people find your book?
It can find it on Amazon. And I also go into universal infertility issues, everything mm-hmm. from what is infertility. I look at legal questions. I look at surrogacy. I look at how mm-hmm. do you decide when to stop. I look mm-hmm. at how you build a support network and parenting after infertility. That was such a huge issue for me because I was mm-hmm. an older parent. Right. I look at becoming a couple again. How do you, when you're infertility is so all consuming that you're, if you have a partner, that partner relationship sort of falls by the wayside. And so I look at how to rebuild your relationship as a couple. I think that's really important. For me, one of the hugest issues, and maybe this is true for many of your listeners, when I became a parent at an older age, I was 45 when I had my daughter. So mm-hmm. I was, as they say, a mature mom. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have anybody else in my age that I could relate to or talk to. I literally went to local parks around the neighborhood hoping to meet other women that were older so I could mm-hmm. sort of have someone else with a similar experience. And I couldn't find anybody. And I felt very lonely because of mm-hmm. that. And then what I did was I contacted Resolve. And literally there was two people just two blocks away from me who were my age, who had had babies the same way. They both had egg donors. And so one of the women started a group, and there were nine of us that participated in that group. And we all were older, more mature moms. And we, mm-hmm. most of us had kids through egg donor, but then some of us adopted. And so we had this range of experience that was so wonderful. And we could discuss things like disclosure and how is it to be an older parent mm-hmm. And the kids and our kids. Now my daughter's 21 now and the kids wow. are still friends. And so it was such a remarkably wonderful experience for me. These people are still very much a part of our lives and a very dear part of our lives. And it was great for the kids too, to grow up with other kids who had mm-hmm. a similar background experience so that as they got older and questions raised for them, they could talk to the other kids in the group about it.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful that you're able to find support among someone close by, at least going through the same experience as you are.
Yeah, I was so incredibly lucky. Yeah, I was so glad I reached out because I never mm-hmm. would have known otherwise.
Right. And give us like a bird's eye view of what is it like? I know there are women out there in their 40s still trying to get pregnant. And what is it like just for them to get an idea of being a parent in their 40s?
I'd say the pros are this. You've had a lot more life experience. And mm-hmm. so when unexpected things happen or crises happen, I feel you're more equipped to deal with it. Also, when you're older, you generally have a more solid base of support with family and friends. Mm-hmm. Also, when we're older, sometimes we have a little more financial security. So those are all really, really good positive things. I would say also you don't get thrown by things when you're an older right. parent. The con, of course, is when you're older, you don't have as much energy as you do mm-hmm. when you're in your 20s. So mm-hmm. when you're running around keeping up with your toddler, it's a little trickier. But we had a woman in our group who was around my age, and she had triplets.
Mm-hmm. And so, oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. And so what we would do, we called it the SWAT team when she came to, or we called it playgroup. When she came to playgroup, a bunch, she'd let us know, and a bunch of us would go downstairs, and one of us would grab two diaper bags, one of us would grab a kid, and we, as a team, we brought them all up.
It takes a village.
It does take a village, and I think when you're an older parent, relying on those additional resources is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And obviously the medical things that go along with being an older parent, you have some more limitations in terms of what your treatment options are. And so that's another issue. And sometimes for people that are considering adoption, some adoption agencies have requirements or preferences about the age of the people that want to adopt kids. So that can be an issue in that case too.
That's a really good pearls that you've shared for women who are in their 40s listening to this interview. How did your infertility journey change you?
It changed me profoundly, I have to say. It changed the course of my career. It changed what the priorities were in my life. I was very career oriented before I started focusing on having a child and building our family. It made me think about ways to be a good parent, and I think that made me a better person. It helped with my relationship with my husband as we faced it together. Because there were certainly ups and downs, and it's sometimes infertility can draw people apart. In our case, I'd say it brought us closer together because we were in agreement about the directions that we wanted to go and what we hoped would happen and how we would face it. So, in those ways, it was very positive. And I guess the other thing was, bringing this whole group of incredible people in our playgroup, people that I never would have met, and people that I met through my daughter going to school. There's a whole network of friends and families that have become such an intricate part of our lives that never would have happened without my having my daughter and without me going through the infertility. And the other piece of it is too, you think about, particularly when you're older, I guess, but my husband brought up the issue of having an egg donor baby and not having that biological connection to the baby. And he wanted to be very certain that that was something I was comfortable with. And a lot of people, when they're making that choice, need to think about what do you want? What's the important part of your infertility journey to you? And my response to him was that if I was lucky enough to get pregnant and sustain the pregnancy, the fact that my body was sustaining my baby, and that essentially we were one, my blood was going through my babies, that I felt that connection was all the connection I needed, and there would never be a doubt that we were connected in every meaningful way possible.
That's a wonderful way of looking at things. How would you advise people how would they find peace in their fertility journey, whether or not they do get pregnant or not?
Yeah, it's so interesting you asked that question. I just posted an article this morning about that exact topic. And we have to tell your listeners, we didn't plan this, did we?
No.
I think it's a process, and it's many steps. And the first step is to grieve the fact that something that you hoped would happen is not going to happen in the way that you wanted it to happen. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be a parent. There are many ways you can parent. And so, again, I would say that it's really important for people to think about what the most important aspect of becoming a parent is. If it's not a biological connection, then maybe adoption is an avenue you can go to, or foster care, or if you have nieces and nephews or other family or friends with kids, building relationships with them may be possible. And also to not, a lot of people, when they're not successful in their infertility treatment or their journey, sometimes there's feelings of of blame or failure or insecurity. And I think it's really important for people not to give themselves those messages. There's no such thing as blame or fault when that sort of thing happens. And it's really important to come to terms with that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes counseling can really help you go through that. And then the next thing is to, I would say, to think about what the next part of your life is going to be. What kinds of things do you want to focus on? What's a priority for you? The volunteer work is also another thing that can really help people find very meaningful places in their lives, mm-hmm. and strong bonds and strong connections. And also sometimes one of the things that I used to talk to people about too is, if you know that you're coming to the end of your journey and there have been failures or missteps or things that happened that you didn't want to happen in the way that you wanted it, having some kind of a meaningful closure or service can be really important too. It might, mm-hmm. and you can do that with your partner or if you're other people in your life that have meaning, but whether it's writing a poem or going somewhere and or talking about the loss and that sort of thing, it can really help people get to a place of closure. And I think that's, mm-hmm. really important, to sort of say goodbye to that part of the world that you thought you'd be a part of, and get that helps people give people permission to move on whatever that next step might be.
That's wonderful advice for women or men out there struggling with infertility and trying to find that peace in that journey. How can people reach you?
There are a couple places. I have an author page. It's iwaichler.wpengine.com. That's, mm-hmm. iwaichler@wpengine.com. And on that site, I have all kinds of articles and information and interviews I've done around infertility. Mm-hmm. Also, my Facebook page is facebook.com/ Iris, Iris, Weichler, with a capital W, AICHLER. Mm-hmm. And again, I put articles there Monday through Friday about infertility. My Facebook page is called Infertility Roller Coaster. And, mm-hmm. then finally, I post articles on Twitter. My Twitter, mm-hmm. page is twitter.com/ Iris Weichler.
Okay. Perfect. I will have all of these social media handles on the show notes so that anyone who'd want to reach out to you will be able to just by clicking the link in the show notes. Thank you so much, Iris, for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. Thanks for allowing me to be on your show, Mary, and thanks for all the great work you do.
Thank you. How awesome was that? If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe, and I would love to receive a review from you. And let's keep this conversation going. What is your fertility journey like? How are you choosing to be compassionate with yourself? Subscribe to the Fertility Stories podcast. I've got a new episode coming your way next week. And until then, talk soon.